Hi, welcome to Django Chat, a podcast on the Django Web Framework. I'm Will Vincent, joined by Carlton Gibson. Hi, Carlton.
Hello, Will.
And we're very pleased to have Sarah Boyce join us today. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi.
So
you have sort of quickly become like an indispensable figure in the Django community. Tell us about yourself. You know, as we always do, let's start with the origin story. I believe you studied maths in university, not programming.
Yes, correct.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
So, and then how did you find your way to the Django space? And then we'll just go from there.
Okay. So, yes, I did a maths degree. I wasn't on the traditional computer science route. I did have some computer science courses. I enjoyed it. All of my internships were in banking, so I did that and decided I didn't enjoy it very much and was like, what can I do that is anything else? And I ended up being a project analyst in a consultancy that is in automotive data. And there was a lot of Excel work involved in being in there, and then anything that's involved with Excel has a variety of VBA kind of around it. And I was then kind of not intimidated about playing around with things like that. And they had an internal team who were managing those tools. And there was a position that opened up to join that team, and I joined it. And so it was predominantly VBA tools at the beginning, but they also had a internal website which had all of their timesheets and their personal development and all this kind of stuff. And this was a Django web application.
Aha, through the back door. Maintained,
yeah. Which was maintained also by this team. And then they kind of decided that web development was more fun than making VBA tools. And so then it progressed that we were predominantly doing Django web applications. And that was my introduction to everything in that space. And yeah, and then eventually I moved on to another job as a back-end engineer, also Django, but this time. So previously it was always like a full Django with Django templates, but at the company that I was at up until very recently, it was Django REST framework and a React front end. And then, yeah, now moving on. So,
well, I have to say in the hierarchy of degrees where someone says, yeah, you could figure this out, I think philosophy, if you don't like numbers, Carlton, and then maths is pretty much at the top, like, because they're both, you know, the articulation of patterns.
We often talk on this show about people who are self-taught programmers versus those that did a CS degree. And like self-taught programmers, they've always got this little sort of, imposter syndrome thing about how they didn't really do CS. But CS grads have that about maths, right? like maths is to CS and CS is to self-taught programming.
It's like CS, chemistry, physics, maths, I think.
I did CS. Yeah, I did maths.
No, but I mean, I've seen this even hiring people. It's like, oh, they don't have like a formal background. What? Oh, they're physics or math? Yeah. They'll figure it out.
They'll manage somehow.
Yeah. Well, so what was, if you recall, what was that like? So you just jumped in feet first then because you were coding helping on a real project as opposed to having time to do sort of kiddie projects. Were you able to learn from your colleagues? Were there resources? Or is it too long ago? Or do you remember that like sort of, oh my God, what is Django? What is web development feeling?
I think it's a really unusual team because everybody was the same. Everybody was pretty new at it, I would say. Everybody had not done a computer science degree and everybody was learning on the job. And so we all had this very similar pathway. So it was a combination of really great because we were doing like real applications straight away. But there's still a lot of imposter stuff in it because we knew we didn't have that kind of confidence of somebody who's been around in a few more places and kind
that misplaced
of is
confidence,
like,
yeah.
I thought it was just confidence of a bloke, like just making it up.
Yeah, confidence of a mediocre white guy. I mean, I was just talking to someone I know quite well this weekend who's a Django developer, and he was saying like, oh my God, he works at a company, the Django code base, and he's like, it's one step away from being on fire, and we wish we could bring someone in and make it better. I was like, everything is like that.
That's everything.
You know, like open source is not, but everything else is. But that's the same feeling, you know, even, you know, he's got years of experience. There's always like, well, someone must know. But like, you know, Carlton, what does it feel like, Carlton?
I don't know, no idea. every app I ever worked on was duct tape everywhere. That's okay. I was going to ask you about, so you know, working with Excel and macros and VBA and all these things. And so what about engineering practices like unit testing and these other, you know, how do you teach in that, you know, what was your exposure to those kind of practices?
Well, exactly. So this is kind of part of the reason that it was missing, because in VBA, you don't really have unit tests or this kind of stuff. It's very much, and I do think it's an interesting thing, because not only were we looking after tools that we had made, but we would also be dumped with tools that other people had made. And there's sometimes these kind of man in dark room crazy thing that they've created, and it's got obviously no tests and it makes sense to them, and you have no idea why it's doing this, and it opens up an email at some stage and it does all sorts of things, like it can open up Internet Explorer and click around, and then I don't know. So and without any tests,
and the entire business is run on it.
Yes, also, and yes, everything is important. Like all of the reporting is somehow coming out of this tool, and so some of these practices that now it seems madness to not have it just kind of wasn't there, and we did get there, but some of those lessons were hard learned, I think.
Yeah. Okay, but that's the best way to learn them, right? Like actual
maybe, yeah.
Actual scars that you could
It's like children, Carlton, right? Like no one listens to you until, you know, they like get a boo boo.
Oh man. Don't start me on that.
I just see the same pattern everywhere, and maybe it's because someone has to either really want it or have something bad happen to like impress upon them that like, no, this is actually matters.
I was when I was a junior, one influential comment that was made to me was like, why are you, speaking to a colleague, oh, you're really diligent about writing the test. And they're like, well, I can either write the test or I can open the browser and manually click around in the application to make sure it was working. And I'd much rather do that.
So let's see. We have a whole long list of things to talk about. Maybe we, Carlton.
Well, segue there though. But so you, you know, with that background, you obviously did learn all the testing because you turned up on the Django issue tracker and, you know, make massive contributions, and you clearly have all the engineering chops and all the good practices and all those things. So, you know, there's a pathway there.
I mean, it's interesting because part of the reason that I really wanted to jump into open source and to Django was because of this lingering impostery feeling that you have. And back when you had this belief that there are real developers out there and there are people who are kind of pretending to be it somehow, and you want to get rid of that feeling and establish yourself as someone who is legitimate and not somehow
faking
stumbled
it.
Into this role. Open source contributions have this thing about them where it makes you sound or feel like that you kind of know what you're doing because you are confident enough to do it in public and that other people can see it and all sorts of other reasons, I suppose. And I wrote this goal that I wanted to try and do some any open source contribution, and then ultimately contributed to Django with kind of my, I don't know, like a stretch goal kind of thing. And it took some time for me to actually get there, because whenever you open track up, it took me some time to, I guess, find a process that works for me, to find tickets that I felt like I could pick up. But then once you get there, then it starts to become like a job, where you can figure it out and you've got a routine and you're set up, and then you can repeat it. And but yes, I appreciate that, especially with things like Django, that tests are essential, and that it couldn't function without the quantitude of tests that it has.
I think the good thing, people come up with these issue requests and they're like, you know, can I change this? And you're like, well, let's change that and see what breaks. And there'll be half a dozen tests that break, and then there'll be a PR that added them, and there'll be a ticket discussion as to why that's the way it is. And then you say, well, no, we can't do that because of X. Without the test suite, it'd just be impossible. It's 3,000 or something odd tests. I don't know how many there are now.
Oh, I checked. There was 16,000 tests.
Oh, there's quite a few more than I just said. No wonder they take so long to run.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy.
I always say in the contributing to Django workshop I've run a few times, I always try and say to people, look, it's not about 2 hours. We've got a workshop. It's not about getting anything necessarily done. It's just getting that taste of a ticket and getting enough into a ticket to see that you could understand it and that you could offer something back, because people feel intimidated. Does that resonate with your experience there?
Yes. I do think that I'm seeing this pattern again and again with some people, and you can tell that it is a person who is not sure, because they will ask for validations and permissions quite often. They will ask for permission to look at a ticket. They'll be like, oh, is anyone working on this? Can I pick this up? The answer is always yes. But you and I did the same. My first comment is going, oh, can I work on this? Is this allowed? And then there's people who are saying, you know, I've had a look at this and I think it might be this and this. And it's a question, and it's like, sure, maybe it might be. Yeah. Why not? And I think having that confidence that, to be honest, if you at the start, you just need to write a test that validates either the new feature or the bug that you're trying to fix. And then if you got all the tests passing, it works, in my opinion. And then you just need someone to go through it with a fine-tooth comb and make sure that it is following all of the style guidelines and any other kind of ideas and stuff about it. But yeah.
Well, so that experience, there's two things, and you can pick which one. So maybe Django, not space. So what is this new program that you're actively involved with that we'll have a link to, that's sort of trying to, I think, mimic and help others go through that journey you just described without doing it in the dark?
Yes, exactly. So there have been a few people who've been pushing for mentorship in Django for some time. And Django is already involved in Google Summer of Code. And there are perhaps some other initiatives that Django is involved in. But this idea of Django having its own mentorship program or idea around it or support space has been something that a lot of people have wanted. And in the last DjangoCon US, I wasn't there, conference, there was a panel discussion around, I think it was called the Future State of Django or something like this. And mentorship was discussed there again. And there were two people there who are organizers of Django Not Space. They basically founded it pretty much after this discussion. And they are Dawn Wages and Rachel Calhoun. And yeah, they just kind of decided that everyone's talking about it. Why don't we just do something? And so that's what they did. And they also acquired Sarah Abdaman, I think, fairly early on. And they started having some ideas and progressing it. And then there was a point about 6 months ago now, probably, where myself and Tim Schilling kind of got involved, and we have helped start with this first program. Now, what is the Jungernaut Space Program? So the concept is we take about 6 to 8 Jungernauts, and that's the term we're using for the participants of the program. And they will be assigned a navigator. There's a space theme with this quite heavily. The navigator is someone who has experience in the Django code contributing space. So they are familiar with track and the review process and can give some kind of tips and tricks and guidance. They don't need to know everything. No one knows everything. And they don't need to know all the nuts and bolts that somebody could ask anything on any ticket and they would know the answer of that. But then we also have a role of a captain, and they are kind of our pastoral support. So they kind of give this personal touch and community element of the program that we have in Django and hope to bring that to the participants. So, and part of this is also to try and share the responsibilities out as to what we hope would make a positive experience, that it's not just down onto a couple of people, and that we can hopefully have more ownership across a few people, and then that will make it a bit more sustainable.
I think, as just from my experience with Google Summer of Code, is it was always very, very hit and miss. It always has been very hit. We've had some wonderful successes, you know, absolutely wonderful successes. You know, the JSON fields that Sage did, who's now working on Wagtail, and the Redis cashback end, and you know, the list goes on and on of features that have come out of Django of Google Summer of Code. But the mentoring's always been our sort of weak point, in that we'd have a mentor, and then if somebody was active and they contribute, you know, that would work. But then if people were struggling, we never really had that support network. And I see that what you're doing in Jungernaut or Jungernaut.space is a really good, like, you know, there's the Discord, there's support, there's check-ins, there's these different roles, this pastoral and the mentoring. I just think it's just a wonderful initiative. I think everything about it is just, you know, really well considered and being implemented just wonderfully.
Thank you. We're trying so hard.
Well, what is that? It's that structure of Marketplace, right? Because again, like that panel, which Carlton, I think we both were on that as well. I mean, that's not a new discussion, and it's, you need someone to say, oh, right, like you can mentor, like, oh, you need help, and just do all the work to put it together, because it's sort of invisible work in a way, but it's challenging and necessary, and otherwise people just talk about it and don't do it.
I think that's another thing that I've gained from being part of this, and I feel like that's something that each of us who are in the organizer space, but hopefully we're encouraging that from other people, that at the start it was very much like, oh, we have this idea, who do we need to get permission from to do something here? And it can very easily be that you end up not doing anything at all because perhaps you don't quite get the validation that you want. And there's been, I think, a number of times where people have had really good ideas, and then I think they were hoping that it would perhaps get adopted by some authority. And when I say some authority, the default is probably the DSF kind of thing. And I think with this, it's been a nice proof of concept that if you want to try something out, like you would a meetup, right? If you want to do a Django meetup, you don't need to get approval to do this. You can just set it up. And I think we can do this for different initiatives in the community, that you can start with something small and validate that there is a need for this, or there is some value that you're bringing here, and then grow it from there and get more support as and when required. And I think that has been a really validating experience, that when you say, you know, what kind of, like, you are the Django community, the community is you, so you can do things. If you want something to happen in the Django community, that's something you can do. So, and I think that's been very powerful.
I think especially over the COVID years, the DSF board doesn't have capacity to, you know, take on another thing, to be the driving force behind something. They can put a rubber stamp on things if that rubber stamp is necessary. But short of self-organizing working groups materializing, which this is kind of like a self-organizing working group that you've put together, the DSF just doesn't have the kind of the Aristotelian term impetus to get things moving. It is because there just isn't that power there.
I mean, this is the strength and the weakness of Django and open source communities, is it's a democracy in a way. Like, it'd be nice if someone just said yes or no to things instead of. Mm. And I think on a code side, it's not clear until you get into it, like, who do you ask? Who has permission? And not that anyone has permission, but, you know, there's maybe a half dozen people who, you know, Carlton being one of them, who can kind of push things in the right direction if they need to go. So the default is, oh, there's this thing called the DSF. And I recognize now, especially not being on the board, that when you're on the board, you're so busy doing stuff, you don't spend a lot of time communicating, like, what the DSF is, like, what do they do? What do they not do? So it is this higher power, but the reality is it's a volunteer position. It's supposed to be 1 hour a month. It's not, but it's really not about code itself at all. It's really just, if you come with a fully baked thing and you want funding or you want approval, they can do that, but they're not going to provide that other support that, you know, people would like. Sort of, and like your first ticket, right? Can I work on this? It's like, can I set up a mentoring program? Like, sure you can. Like, just do it.
Yes. You just need some kind of auto-approved bot that's at the DSF.
I think it's a communication. It's a communication thing. I mean, it's a big reason why we have this podcast, is because, you know, I'd never been to DjangoCon, and suddenly like almost everyone, it seemed, who I'd seen online was there and was, you know, approachable. And it's like, oh, wow. Like, I wish I'd known about that. And then, and that feeds into as well the newsletter. So there's a Django News newsletter that Jeff Triplett and I run, and that we can talk about your contributions. But, you know, Django itself doesn't have a newsletter. Now, why doesn't it have a newsletter? Someone has to do it. And I can attest, it's a lot of work to do a newsletter. And it's just everyone on the board already has more than they can do. And so, you know, maybe at some point it can be merged in, and if Django, in quotes, wants to take it on, they can. But, you know, there was a need, Jeff and I thought, to have this. And one of my favorite things is that you then just approached us and said, hey, like, there's all these updates happening. And it's really been interesting because, you know, talking to Carlton all the time, he's telling me how, like, excited he is about Django and how active issue, you know, track is. But unless you're looking at it, you don't know. And so, now this updates the Django section, it's like double digit PRs a week oftentimes, and new contributors. Maybe to you, like, how is that from your end to adding this new feature? Because right now we just give you permission and you basically do this section, which is amazing. Which is what, well, you know, you built that trust, right? Like
good.
Review and triage team. Like, I met you at DjangoCon Europe. I forget what the timing was, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, we're not dealing with lives here, you know? It's like, you can always revoke someone's permission too, so.
so true. Yeah, so, and it's true, there's so much work that is going on with Django all the time. And I sometimes wonder whether there's, because there is like a narrative of a story that sometimes we adopt, and I've heard that, and okay, so sometimes track is called the fire hose, for example, and I think there is so much more to Django in like a positive, empowering space where different people are coming up and contributing quite fantastic features. And also even the first time contributors, it's not like there aren't, that it's very a rare occurrence. It's every week that somebody...
That's what's really jumped out to me, like three or four sometimes new people.
Absolutely. And so if you want to do it, it's not that you would be one in a million. You might be, but it's an achievable thing. I think it takes a bit of perseverance and grit, more than I think it takes, I don't know, 10 years of Python experience or something like this. You just need to have the willpower and some time that you can continue to push through the rounds of review and make those changes, and then it will get accepted. It's a process rather than a lone wolf genius figure or something like this.
And it's complex, but there's no secret handshake either. It's totally,
yes,
you know, do the things to handle the review. The first thing is understand the ticket, right? Because the ticket won't, it's not like there's any tickets which are obvious. You have to get into them and think about them. But as you say, if you do it, if you know, it will get accepted. There's no barrier beyond the difficulty of and the time and the commitment.
Yeah.
But I wonder if attribution and validation, as you said earlier, is a problem in terms of like, it'd be great if we could have just like a badge on GitHub, like you contributed, like your first, you know, not that we need to gamify it, but like, you know, contributed to Django, or, you know, and this is, I'm just thinking out loud, something Django could do somehow to, absent the DSF having to maintain a list or something. But, you know, it should be something people, you know, an employer or people can see without you having to like have an about page and link, yes, Carlton, link to it somewhere.
Well, I've thought about this loads. I think one of the really exciting things about a mentorship program like Django Nauts is that it's possible to show people how they can, you know, just put together a, like, this is what I did. And, you know, they can put it on their blog or their CV or their, and that, but being told, hey, do you know what? That discussion you had on track was a good discussion. And that PR that you did and that you got merged, that's a good thing. And if you write that up as a, you know, these hiring managers, oh, how have you contributed to some project? Well, there, that story, mm-hmm. which is publicly verifiable. But mm-hmm. youngsters, they don't know to maximize that. They don't know to talk about the things they've done.
Well, some people don't have the, I guess it's confidence to do that. Like there's a couple people I mentor and they're, I'm constantly like, you should just for yourself write up this thing you discovered, because like I promise you, you're going to forget it in 6 months, or you know, and they just don't. So that's why when you were saying, Sarah, you're like, I wanted that validation. Like, yes, like this is what Carlton and I are always saying. Like, in some ways, it's the easiest way to prove your chops is to contribute to Django. It's like, well, you could probably write for our little app doing whatever if you can contribute to Django, because the standards are going to be a lot higher. But many people don't, you know, power through the barriers that you did of like, can I do this? Should I do this? The time. But yeah, in some ways, it's the easiest way to get hired, I would think.
And I think it's part of the program. What I hope from it is we are really trying to celebrate each of the achievements that our Djangonauts are having. And we are we're trying to be the voice for them until they learn to have their own voice, because there is so much, it's all well and good to say, okay, you can make a blog post about this thing, but it's kind of like learning in public, and any piece of code that you wrote 2 years ago and you read it now and you go, oh, that's awful. And so every blog that is also probably very similar, that you go, oh, I can't believe I thought these things at that time, and that, oh, I thought this was clever. And I think having that kind of habit or those ideas that this is going to be a useful resource or something that is going to benefit you is intimidating, especially when you feel like you don't have anything particularly interesting or new to say, or that you've just kind of validated that you have only just learned something that you feel like everybody already knew for a long time now, and you're just publicizing that you're new to this or something like this. And I think contributions to an open source library, there's a pride in it because it shows that you're giving back to something, and it shows that you are willing to put in some effort into things that we all benefit from. And it somehow gives you permission to brag a bit about yourself, because there's a little bit of feel goodness about doing this. And Django is obviously a well-known library, and there is some status element of saying, oh yes, I did this, and that's a very good thing to point to.
Well, but I think I'm a little bit older than you are. Like, you're perfectly placed in your programming journey to do this, in that you have the expertise, but also remember and are kind of in that middle ground. Like, one of the issues I found, less so in Django, but in other places, is most of the poobahs in charge have lost all perspective for the beginner experience because they've been doing it 10, 20 years. So it's like this abstract thing. So it's not that they don't know, but it's like, oh, I remember childhood. Like, oh yeah, like you just like
just I was a child once.
Like just make a PR. But when you write something down, like in the moment you discovered, you have those frustrations and that point of view that you're not gonna have. Same like your first contribution to Django. So you sort of need, in a way, like someone where you are, where you're just like, this is a problem and I'm gonna do something about it. And then in 5 years, you'd be like, oh yeah, it is a problem. Someone should do something about it. But like, you're gonna have different problems. So I think it's fantastic. And I think that's why I always encourage people to write as they're learning, because that's the best time. I mean, that's kind of, for me, the problem I have now is that I'm almost too familiar with things to write from that beginner's mind. But like, when you're a beginner, you're asking questions that, you're like, oh, everyone knows this. Like, no, they don't. Like, and if they do, they won't Google for it and find it, you know? So,
yes.
But Carlton, you still have empathy and compassion for people somehow.
I try to. that's because I do Tai Chi, and you can't do Tai Chi without a beginner's mind. So
There you go. You have to practice it. It is a muscle.
I remember like when I very first began vividly being stuck for like days, because I had the wrong version of my programming language installed, and I didn't even know about versions. I didn't know how to get a different version of it installed, and I didn't know, I was destroyed by it. I didn't have a support network to ask for. Mm. I remember not knowing anything about anything about anything. And, so I try to maintain as much as I can an awareness of, what it's like coming to it from the outside.
Yeah. And I think, to be honest, we all continue to learn if we keep... Okay, you can choose not to. you can definitely choose to, like, I'm comfortable at this thing now and I'm going to only do this thing now. And that's completely fine. You've earned your stripes and you can stay there. But there is infinite capacity for you to continue to learn, and you can push yourself to get back into that position where you feel stupid again. And I feel stupid all the time. So it's not that hard to feel it again. And it's also nice to see how far you've come at the same time. And I think even with this program, there's so many things that I hope for it, because at the minute it's around getting people into Django and into that space and helping them identify with it that they can be a Django code contributor, because it is kind of an identity problem in some cases, that people somehow feel like it's too prestigious, or it's there's a fancy thing around it. And hopefully we get them feeling like this is something they want to be a part of, and that this is, there's a team in this, and that they're working with real people here who really care about other people and really want to see you succeed, and that you can be one of those people who are also working on really interesting problems, but also working with some experienced, talented, wonderful people, and you can be this experienced, talented, wonderful person too, and you probably already are, you know, and you almost everybody has some experiences and some special skills that they can bring on board. And then with it, there's also, there's still levels in. In my head, there's still like a journey from going from like a first time contributor to, on the other end of the scale, some form of co-maintainer or fellow or whatever you want to call like the one on the other end of the scale. And there are still like almost milestones going through it. So it's all well and good when you got your first contribution in, but there'll be a time where you are able to help other people get a contribution in, and that you feel comfortable reading someone else's code and saying, oh, I feel like this and this doesn't fit with this thing, or perhaps it would be better like that. And there's other steps there that I think. You go, Carlton.
Yeah, well, I just want to say, because you're a member, we haven't talked about it, but you're a member of Django's triage and review team, which is explicitly about having community members who are active on GitHub, active on track, helping with the massive task of triage and review and pushing PRs and issues forward, and being able, having more than expertise than just, say, the two fellows can have, you know, being able to comment sensibly on a, you know, there's... It's a really important role. I mean, it's one I think we should, in the community, if we could somehow give it more kudos, that would be an important thing, because actually it's in a way can be more important for helping driving Django forward than coding itself. I mean, so you talk about your experience there and as well.
Yeah, good question.
how did you get tapped to join?
Oh, it's from Mariusz. So I need to give lots of kudos to Mariusz. He's been a very big advocate for me, and he's reached out to me on several occasions, and I was pretty much a nobody, and he's helped bring me here. And so I will always be very grateful to him. But yes, yeah, so review and triage team, what is it? It's initially, I would say it's a validation of the work you've already done, and kind of a way that Django can give recognition to active contributors, because there aren't that many tools that we have to recognize people, and that's something we can develop. But this is one way to give that recognition. And then what do we have? So on the Django Discord, there is a channel for contributor, I think it's called Contributor Discussions, and there's also Contributors Getting Started. And both of these channels is a chat that you can go into, and you could talk to some people who are actively working on Django. So if you're a first-time contributor, you perhaps want to be in the Getting Started section, and people will respond to you. And I would say, think about what you're asking, because sometimes I would say the question is better on a ticket, or better to be then later moved to the ticket, because I think there's better history and documentation of if this was a valuable discussion. And I think moving to Discord's pretty new, and there's a lot of value in it, because you get that that validation. So back when I was saying sometimes people are just there and they're going, I want to be able to, can I assign myself to this ticket, right? This is not a valuable comment, because it is just a person is looking for some kind of social validation, and you can get that validation on the Discord, and people can be like, yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't need to, and I don't mean to say that in any form of criticism way.
It's not going to help solve the ticket 12 years later if the ticket's still open.
Exactly. That's what I mean. And but this kind of encouragement is still really useful. And I think it's quite humanizing to have other people who are on more of a live time chat, who can be, you're talking and they're talking back to you, and you can see that they're typing and all this kind of stuff, rather than you write a comment somewhere and then 3 days later you get an email that someone's replied and then you check it and all this kind of stuff. It feels like the gods that be have replied to you.
And you burning that chicken was worthwhile.
And I think it's a supportive group, because even the people who have been contributing for quite some time, they don't always feel very confident in the things that they want to do. And they want to talk it through with some people, and they want to check that, oh, what do you think, this is a good idea and all this kind of stuff. And there's a difference between doing that kind of chat rather than it's some kind of proposal that's on the Django developers mailing list, which is hoping to get some kind of voting system on, or so there's kind of like different types of communication in there. And I think what I like about the Discord is you feel the or at least I feel the community element a bit better there, because you can even get the very small interactions of the heart and the thumbs up emoji and all this kind of stuff, where you're getting kind of validation in a subtle way, which is not as, what's the word, like surgical or clinical or something, as something that...
It's difficult.
It's probably also generational a bit, in that, I mean, you know, Carlton and I are on the other side of 40, and like, I prefer email. Well, I prefer chats with people I already know, but Discord, maybe I'm just not... I know that that's like what the kids use. And I, you know, your articulation of it being an actual conversation and emojis, just like I would text with someone I know, is much more encouraging and validating than a normal discussion. But I think there's, you know, Django doesn't have one canonical place where everyone goes, which is good and bad, right? Because I agree that the official mailing list seems super intimidating. And then, Discord is more humanizing. I mean, I remember when I was on the board, the Discord, because part of it is, what can Django maintain? Like, the Discord, I believe, is not official. Like, they asked for permission, and we said, we should have one, but need to make clear it's not like maintained by the DSF, because we don't have someone ownership if something goes awry, because those things can happen. But yeah, I think we should probably have more. Like, how does someone find out about the Discord, right? Like, or people often aren't on the Discord and the mailing list. There's very few people who are crossing between those. I'm just thinking out loud here, but I think my you articulate it in a way that makes a lot of sense to me, and I don't know, maybe there is an answer, maybe it's just different people and, you know, different realms work for them.
I think that's also part of it, because for me, in terms of I've always worked, okay, in my professional career, I've always had Slack.
Yeah.
And it feels quite similar to having a Slack. And so it feels like I have a team, and that I've got a team here, and I feel like I'm part of something. And I think without that, being in the review and triage team would have felt just like a title that I've achieved, or some badge of honor that I've achieved. But now I can see what people are doing in different ways, because it's easy for me to see PRs that people are raising, because I'm also writing about it each week. But in terms of, like, you know, people engaging in different discussions and things, I find it easier there than... I find the mailing list intimidating personally, and that might be a very personal thing.
No, I think I think the problem is that one email someone sends late at night may or may not have the tone they intend, and then it comes down like the voice of God, and it just completely stops someone in their tracks when the reality is they may not have intended it that, or you know, there's like 19 other people in the room who can say, you know what, that person, that's just kind of how they are, and we love them, but don't take that as gospel for how the rest of us feel about certain things, you know, like, because this will sometimes happen with great contributions to Django that the majority of people are excited about, and someone who's a big poobah doesn't particularly love it, and they might say something and not realize how it comes across.
Is that
fair, Carlton? Like, right? I mean, I've seen this.
I think the mailing list has had its day, to be honest. I think what we've got going on with the forum for the more asynchronous comments, which also does have emoji, and it's quite easy to follow. And if somebody posts in the wrong channel, it's very easy to move them to the right channel. It's well moderated. And Ken there is just an absolute rock there. And then with the Discord for the more... So I have to admit, I hate synchronous. I hate chat. I hate live chat. When I was a junior, it was all Skype, and then it moved to Slack, and I could just never get any work. So I was always just have to have a conversation with my boss saying, I won't be on Skype, or I won't be on Slack.
I mean, we do what we do to avoid that, Carlton, right?
Like, exactly.
So often they're like, oh, there's a Slack, and I'm like,
but I've got Discord set up just on my phone, and I've managed to filter it so it's only the channels that I want to, and I check it a couple of times a day, and I've managed to... I found a way that I can do Discord. So
you can teach an old dog new tricks, yeah.
Yeah, but the forum really works for me, and I think the mailing list just... I think it's... You know, there's still very low traffic there, but I certainly will never start a thread on the mailing list again over the forum. I made that decision a while back, and I think the forum is the way forward. It's a much nicer UI. It's a much nicer environment. Emojis help, you know, replies, threaded replies. Everything about it is just much better.
I mean, same with members. This isn't, you're a DSF member, I assume, Sarah, right? Or are you? Yeah. Okay. You know, the 200 or something of us that there are, you know, there's communication issues because there's just like an email, and I think mimics in some ways sometimes some of the less good things of the official forum or email channel, but perhaps we should move that to the forum.
I wonder if it would be possible to have a even on the forum, because I guess the point about the DSF members list is it is private to DSF members. So is there a possibility for a private channel or private?
Yes, I'm pretty sure there. I'll look into that.
That might be a good idea to improve it. But I mean, so the DSF membership is meant to be, again, that community sort of acknowledgement of your contributions. You know, it's meant to be, it is, it's like, so the PSF fellows are like people who've contributed to the Python ecosystem, and the Django Software Foundation individual member is that same, like, you know, you've done good stuff for Django, and I don't think we advertise that enough either.
Well, Sarah, we're getting to the point where we always like to ask, where you have your magic wand, you know, what do you want to change about Django from where you sit? Because I always find this interesting. Code community, you know, like dictator for a day.
I quite like this theme of this communication element that we were talking about. So I do think we can really make some improvements there. I think that would be a good improvement, having it on the forum. I want to give kudos to Ken. I think this was... I will eventually get to what my magic wand, but I do agree that I think it's the moderators and it's the ownership of those two, of the forum and of the Discord, is stronger than I think of the mailing list. And because of the work that certain people are doing, and it's great work in both of those areas, people feel... It's rare that people ask a question or say something and that it goes completely unanswered. And there's some confidence in that there are people there who are looking after it and are going to be like, yeah, good question. Perhaps it's been asked before. Look over here or something like this. And they kind of prune it. And there's a niceness in that it feels quite welcoming, in my opinion. So, having this way that we can communicate amongst the DSF as a group a bit better would be really interesting, because I have tried a couple of times, and I've made some progress with some messages on the DSF mailing list, but it isn't always as perhaps inviting as it could be, and not as active as it perhaps could be. And I think there is an element of, and I understand if these are people who have already contributed, there's no kind of requirement, thank you, that you need to do any more, you've already done enough, and I appreciate that, but there are still a lot of people who are very passionate and excited and still active in this community that I think could direct that in different spaces. And I don't think that the DSF membership is only full of people who are gone and burnt out with Django. And I appreciate the validation of giving me this, but I've had enough. So I think that would be really exciting, because there's a lot of things and a lot of stuff that we can still do, and that's exciting to me.
Sometimes worry that we don't get the controls into the hands of the people who are active.
It's hard.
Yes.
It is also hard, because there is I appreciate there's this element of trust with new people.
Yeah.
And how do you define the point that it's sufficient, right? That it's not this random person who's come along, they did two things, and perhaps that they are going to go away immediately, or that perhaps they don't represent some of the values that we care about with Django and all this kind of thing. And I think that's hard to... But once it's there, I think you should give permission and stuff very willingly, because I think a lot of people can do some really interesting things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and the good news is there's lots to be done and not enough people to do it. So I think we can and should be more aggressive in trying. And again, it's just code. Like, you can always change permissions and, you know, but it's unbelievably...
It's not just code.
I know. No, it's not just code. But I mean, it's, you know, but it's also a very self-regulating, in that people can see what you're doing. So it's... I don't even know how you could be like a bad actor over time. Like, what would you gain? What would be the point? Like, yeah, it's... Well, we are unfortunately up on time, Sarah, but so nice to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll have to have you back again soon. I know you have new things in the works, so we can talk about them then. But we'll have links to everything. Is there any... what's the best way if people want follow-up a discussion? I guess, is it email? Is it Discord? What's the best way?
I think I'd prefer if you email me. And I will get back to you. You can share my email. You can message me on Discord if you want. I find this process a little bit interesting because they have to friend request you first. But otherwise, you can do that. That's fine.
That's good. I'm anti-direct messages on all things. I think direct messages are just a bad idea.
Yeah. Okay. We'll have links to GitHub profile and other things where you can find her email. And
sounds good.
So thank you, everyone. We are djangochat.com, and we'll see everyone next time. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.